ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cara, acne can be tough. Whether your kid is just starting to get breakouts or has been struggling with them for years, there's a great product that can help.
Phyla is the ultimate game changer. It tackles acne right at its root cause, rebalancing the skin's bacteria and packing it with probiotic phages.
Phyla harnesses the superpowers of probiotics, tiny warriors targeting and wiping out the acne-causing bacteria. In studies, Phyla slashed acne-causing bacteria by a whopping 90%.
Phyla doesn't just fix acne you can see. It stops new breakouts in their tracks. It has no harsh chemicals and won't irritate or dry most skin. Phyla's three-step system is like a dermatologist-approved magic potion. Cleanse, apply serum, and moisturize twice a day.
As a special treat for our listeners, you can grab 25% off your first order of Phyla. Head over to phylabiotics.com, enter code PUBERTY at checkout, and kickstart your family's journey to acne-free skin. Check out the link in our show notes for quick access.
Hi, I'm Cara Natterson.
And I'm Vanessa Kroll Bennett.
And we are obsessed with flipping puberty positive.
Puberty is a stage of life best described as a roller coaster of physical and emotional shifts. It happens to literally every human being on earth. And it shouldn't be cringy. It should feel, you know, pretty comfortable.
Which is why we started this podcast and a newsletter, and why we film slightly ridiculous but informative social media videos.
It's why we have a brand that makes clothes that literally feel so comfortable, and why we write books too. Our latest is This Is So Awkward, Modern Puberty Explained.
We have built a universe of puberty positivity, and it all started with this podcast.
We are so happy that you're here. Hi, Cara.
Hi, Vanessa.
Well, the sun is finally shining in New York for the first time in, like, I don't know, 4 months.
And in LA. It's been rainy, rainy, rainy.
It's been rain. I know. You guys are like, it's raining. What do I do?
We're all a little pickled. pickled and frizzy.
Come sit by me. And it brings up the question as spring approaches and hopefully summer, I'm going to set up a series of scenarios. Okay. How do we handle the kid whose body has changed significantly since there was warm weather, you know, at least 6 or 8 months ago, and is navigating that body change? How do we navigate the kid who's had a glow up in that period of time and the body changes are like, hello world, here I am.
I'm psyched to show you.
I'm psyched to show you. And how do we navigate the kid whose maybe body has changed or hasn't changed, isn't in that transformative period, but is making some choices about what they wear and how they wear it that are giving us pause for thought? So those are the three buckets. Do you want to add any other buckets to this conversation?
No, because I mean, I could add 12 more buckets, but what I really want to do is make sure to cover the kids who feel uncomfortable in their own skin and then the kids who feel really comfortable in their own skin and talk about both.
Yep.
Right. So should we start with discomfort?
Yes. So let's lay out what might be the sources of discomfort, right? So the first source may be weight gain or height gain that is making clothing no longer fit or no longer feel comfortable or no longer look the way a kid might want it to look. So there's that group of kids, weight gain, height gain, changes in shape and curve and all of that. And then there's breast development. And when we say breast development and breastfeeding, we do not just mean in girls, right? Boys, 50% of boys have some version of breast development and have their own version of self-consciousness about how their nipples look in shirts, the same way that we're aware of girls feeling self-conscious or potentially uncomfortable in the way their breast butts or nipples look in shirts.
And let's not forget about the group of kids who desperately want their bodies to shift and change, and nothing has happened between last season and this season, and their friends' bodies are changing, but theirs aren't. And that is a source of feeling self-conscious as well. So we're deep in the world of the self-conscious kid. I want to spend a moment on breast growth, if we can.
Yep.
Because the comment you made about boys having breast development is so, so, so important. And most adults don't realize it. I haven't seen the data actually about whether this is generationally different. The data about breast buds or gynecomastia, which is the diagnostic term for when there's male breast development. And remember, breast buds, there's this sort of small, I always call it stack of dimes underneath the nipple, and the area gets a little bit puffy. That's the very beginning of breast growth. Sometimes you see breasts bud with that little hard bud, and then they retreat a little bit, and then they start to grow. You often see one side and not both sides at first. And the data suggests that 50% of all males will have one or two breast buds at some point during their path through puberty. And some number of them go on to have breast tissue development. And it almost always recedes. It doesn't always. So there are some guys who end up getting medical care because the breast tissue has not gone away and they feel very self-conscious about it. But it's important to realize this is a normal path through puberty. We all have estrogen in our body. Breast tissue is sensitive to estrogen. Males have breast tissue. And so that's why you see it. And this is so shameful for boys. They don't want to, especially if there's a lump on one side, they don't want to take a shirt off or wear anything that's tight and revealing. And girls can wear bras that work to help cover breast buds, right? But guys, they don't have any undergarment that solves the problem. So there's
So you created the Umbra specifically for this stage, which is the very sensitive breast buds that, as I say, will poke out of a down coat. Like breast buds, you literally, you can't hide them anywhere. You could be in a suit of armor. But the Umbra actually like really smooths it out. It also helps protect them because they're really sensitive. And it's possible there are people who, you know, identify as males who wear Umbras or other bralettes or half tops or whatever. I don't know. I don't know, Kari, if you know.
The way I've seen it done more often than not, I've had these one-off emails from adults over the years who have said they have sewed in, you know, those sort of tank tops that have a built-in shelf bra.
Yeah.
They can sew in something that will help just provide a little bit of compression for their boys. The other thing that you have seen, if you look at trends in dressing, now I want you to flash back. Has there ever been a moment since your own childhood where it's been stylish for a tween or teen guy to wear super tight shirts?
Right. Totally not. So here's the challenge with the style in shirts is the sort of dry wick sports shirts are what I call nipply. So no matter your gender, even fully grown people who have developed their breasts or developed their pectoral muscles or whatever, the nipples are like, it makes them 100 million times more visible. And so I know that boys who are in puberty, who are developing, really shy away. And even now they make like collared shirts in that fabric. And the boys I've talked to are like, not a chance in hell. So they look for like a heavier weight shirt in a cotton as opposed to this sort of dry fit shirt, because that just shows every nipple. It would be like if I put them, if I wore bottoms in those, it would show every dimple of my cellulite. So for the kids, sorry, that was like a really graphic description.
But I think it's really important to just acknowledge that there are these pain points for everyone. And we've done a really good job as a society creating solutions to these different pain points. We haven't even acknowledged, I mean, this podcast always acknowledges male breast development, but the world in general hasn't really acknowledged. And I will say, just on a side note about Umla, that one of the reasons we felt so strongly about creating gender neutral products was because there may be some people who want to wear something that just covers them up and helps keep some tissue down. And who cares what their gender is? Like,
right.
You do you, right? So there are a lot of use cases in the world for lots of different products throughout puberty. I think that the issue of breast development is so fraught because you've got, okay, so you've got male breast development, right? So there, that's it. And then you've got female breast development. And female breast development, it's like, and we've talked about this before, you go to put on a bathing suit, okay? Mm. And as soon as there's breast development, as soon as there's breast budding, you suddenly have what looks like a completely see-through situation mm-hmm. in a
feels so one revealing,
piece, right? Like
yeah.
one piece was supposed to be the more innocent looking bathing suit. And somehow you just see everything in that one piece. So people put ruffles or people put, you know, whatever decor they can across the top to help essentially just cover up emerging breasts. But in this ironic way, sometimes bikinis cover more, even though they cover less because of the way they're constructed, until suddenly there are full-form breasts and bikinis. I mean, I was in a bikini store the other day, and it is amazing how little material is used in bikinis today. It's jaw-dropping to me. And I live in LA. Like, this is how people dress, right?
We'll get to the bikini and other tiny garments of clothing conversation. But I also want to recognize, so a kid who's feeling self-conscious about breast development, about weight gain or height gain, you might begin to notice a change in posture. You might begin to notice that they're choosing to wear bigger clothes to try to camouflage some of these things. You might notice them wearing the same clothes over and over. And that might really piss you off because you're like, I just bought you all these clothes. Why are you wearing the same shirt? And by the way, you didn't even wear deodorant yesterday. So I just want to say to that, if you notice your kid choosing certain clothes, certain t-shirts or sweatshirts or something over and over again, and it's maybe big or it's baggy, or you notice their body language, the temptation, because I've been there, is to get really annoyed and to say something not so nice. And instead, what I would encourage all of us to do, and I include myself in this, is to say, you know, I noticed that you really like wearing that sweatshirt and that t-shirt. And I just am wondering, is it because that's what you feel good in? Are your other clothes not feeling comfortable? Like, should we try to find some stuff on sale to replace the things we bought, you know, earlier? And I know in your head, it's like, I just spent more money on your clothing than I spent on my own, or I literally just ordered this stuff for you a month ago and now you won't wear it. And all of us need to be really sensitive and empathetic to a kid who is not feeling great in their body and is just trying to find something that looks good, that feels good, that's comfortable, all of those things. Kara, lately I have been lying awake at night. I'm physically exhausted, but I can't sleep because my mind is so wired with everything going on between work and my family. So I've added Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, and it actually helps calm my mind. It helps me get better sleep, and I wake up feeling better rested. I'm less cranky, and I'm more patient with my family and with you.
Oh, I've noticed. And it's because, unlike other magnesium supplements that might give one or two formulations of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough has 7. That's why you're sleeping so well and waking up refreshed. Now, dietary supplementation is always best, Vanessa. So that means eating your minerals and vitamins is the best way to get them in. But if you can't or you don't get enough, Magnesium Breakthrough is the way to go. It can also help digestion, though too much helps your digestion too much, which is not a good thing. It can support muscle recovery. So bye-bye, Charlie horses. And it helps build dense bones, which is especially important for women approaching and in menopause.
We have an exclusive offer for our listeners. You can go to buyoptimizers.com/puberty, buyoptimizers.com/puberty. And you can use the code PUBERTY10 during checkout to save 10%. That promo code is PUBERTY10 at buyoptimizers.com/puberty. Your body and brain and family and business partner will thank you.
Vanessa, we literally have 3 minutes to eat lunch every day. I am not joking. And the challenge is how to make it delicious and healthy and still fit into that tiny window. Our answer is Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They have been a godsend.
We throw our Factor meals in the microwave. It takes 2 minutes and out comes a gorgeous, fresh, never frozen meal. We both love the tamale vegetarian one. It's delish. There's a ton of options every week. There's 60 add-ons, breakfast, snacks, beverages. I love doing the wellness shots with my kids. They think it's hilarious and I know they're getting vitamins and minerals in their bodies.
So get meals on your table or at your desk in 2 minutes or less. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. You can customize with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can press pause or reschedule depending upon your lifestyle.
So to order, go to factormeals.com/puberty50 and use the code puberty50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That code is puberty50 at factormeals.com/puberty50 to get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box. And I am going to go do that right now because I need more Factor meals in my refrigerator.
Cara, my kids love Magic Spoon cereal. And even though it's cereal, they actually love it as a homework snack. The variety pack has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. And fruity is the favorite flavor in my house.
Now, this pack has 0 grams of sugar, between 13 and 14 grams of protein, and between 4 and 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and it's high in protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So a great choice, Vanessa.
You can go to magicspoon.com/puberty to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our, you guessed it, promo code puberty at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident you're going to love their product. It's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. They do not want you to send their cereal back to them.
Try a bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/puberty and use the code puberty to save $5. I want to raise one other flag for people to keep their eye out for, and that is kids who are feeling uncomfortable in their body and are engaging in behaviors where they're trying to lose weight. And this is predominantly a female phenomenon, the weight loss part, because the goal for the sort of beauty standard among females looks quite different than the beauty standard among males. Males often are trying to gain weight, gain muscle. If they're carrying extra fat, they're trying to convert that fat into muscle. So it's a different path through disordered eating. Among people who are trying to lose weight in order to attain a thin aesthetic, you can see some of the exact same behaviors that you just described, right? Wearing big, oversized, baggy tops, big, oversized, baggy sweaters. And what's happening for these kids is that they might be achieving a goal for themselves where they're losing some weight, but they don't really want anyone in their life to make a comment about it or to stand in their way in any way. And so parents will often tell us that the first flag for them, and it's often a flag they missed because their kids are good about this, is this shift towards wearing very large, very baggy clothing as weight is coming off. So the tip there is to be a keen observer. Just start noticing.
I also heard from a high school guidance counselor who tipped me off as well. If kids are wearing weather inappropriate clothes, like the weather's getting really warm and this kid is still in long sleeves and sweatshirts, to make sure you see them without all that. Not saying as an educator, but as a parent or a guardian, that you see them without long sleeves on because of concerns of self-harm.
Self-harm. I think it's really, really important to bring up. So cutting typically happens on arms or legs.
Right.
And so the covering up there can be the hiding of self-harm. You know, to answer the hanging question out there is, okay, so you see something, now what do you do, right? Do you say something to your kid? It really depends. It depends upon the circumstances. It depends upon the relationship with the kid in your life. It depends on their mental health and where they are. You'll never go wrong by seeking help about how to manage it.
If a kid is cutting, they have to see a mental health professional. You can't let that.
No, but right. You as the adult may need to reach out to a pediatrician, a therapist, a psychiatrist, a counselor first before you engage the kid to figure out what the most effective way to engage a kid would be. So don't
be shy. But that's not
a
situation that's going to resolve itself. But
never.
As Cara says, every personality is different and you may need to kind of call in the cavalry to get some guidance about how to handle it.
Get help. Get help with that kid. And in fact, with all of these scenarios that we've gone through about kids who are not comfortable in their skin, have a low threshold to pick up the phone and call the healthcare providers who take care of that kid and get some advice, because they can save you a lot of heartache and a lot of sort of back and forth with a kid. They can give you tools and language for you to get in there and be able to start to open up the conversation.
Because this is something we talk a lot about, that it's normal for kids of all genders to some kids to gain more weight than usual at the beginning of puberty or right before puberty sets in. And the biggest shame they feel is that they were made to feel bad that they had like outgrown their clothes, you know, quickly or needed to go up a size or felt ashamed. And so were stuffing themselves into clothes that really didn't fit them anymore. And there is, Car, I don't know what the name of it is, but there is actually, it's like a physiological thing. If something is too tight around the waist, there is a reaction to that phenomenon. I'll have to look it up. But again, this is a time to buy your kid inexpensive clothes because they are going to move through their clothing quickly and they are struggling with their changing body. And all they need is for their loving parent to make them feel crappy that they need a new size or they need bigger clothes or they've outgrown stuff so quickly. Or, oh my God, they're such a beanpole and can't you just stay in the same pants? And oh my God, we just got those, right? Like we have to keep our mouths shut on this and use neutral language like, hey, it looks like those aren't as comfortable anymore. Let's find some stuff that's comfortable. Or I notice your style's changing a little bit. Should we see if we can find some clothes that might reflect your style better? Instead of saying, you've gotten too big, you've gained too much weight, oh my God, you're so tall. Like all these qualitative comments need to not enter the conversation.
Before we leave the kid who's not confident, I want to add one more thing. There will be situations where that kid is going swimming or is doing some sort of outdoor activity that requires less clothing. We got to, Vanessa, just 1 minute on walking people through that language.
So here's what we don't say. We don't say, what the hell are you doing? Get in the water. Everybody else is in the water. Why are you still wearing your t-shirt? What's wrong with you? We came all this way to the beach and now you don't want to go in the water. I don't understand why we're here. I could have done 25 things today. Now you don't want to go in the water? Get in the water. Take off your shirt. Right? It's like every parental annoyance, which is totally, totally valid. We can feel annoyed. That kid has a really good reason for not wanting to take off their shirt, for not wanting to get in the pool, for wanting to be the kid who's throwing the football back and forth from the side of the pool instead of getting in the pool. And so our job as parents is to see if we can kind of gently get a little more information like, oh, I'm surprised you don't want to get in the water. Oh, okay, anything you need so that you feel more comfortable? And they'll probably say, no. And you say, great, I'm here. If you need me, I'll be over there reading my book, right? But berating them, like, they're big kids. They know exactly what they're doing and they know exactly what's comfortable and what's not comfortable. I keep thinking about the scene in eighth grade, the movie.
Where she's at the pool party. Yes, it is an unbelievable scene.
And she's walking out in that green Speedo and just her whole her shoulders are sagging and they're rounded and, you know, she's getting in the water and she's so awkward and, you know, and she doesn't have an adult there to pressure her. But if she had an adult there to pressure her, they would say 20 things wrong, like we all have ourselves. And so if you have a kid who's making certain choices and you know it's not a safety thing and you know it's not an eating disorder thing and you know it's not a self-harm thing and it's just they don't feel great in their body, you are there to love them and support them. And you are not interrogating them. And you're definitely not interrogating them in front of 25 of their friends.
And if they don't want to go in the first place, fine. You know what? Enjoy an afternoon with them. Go do something fun. Because one day they are going to be flown and out of your coop and you're going to miss the moments with
them.
Right. So take the opportunity. I wouldn't push it. I agree with you. I wouldn't push it. Okay. That's the group of kids who come from a place of low confidence.
Yeah.
Let us discuss the group of kids who, hurrah, feel great about themselves, right? This is amazing when kids have confidence. It is what we want for our kids. And yet, I mean,
they're just taking that new body out for a spin, right?
Yes, and they are. By the way, well, this is not a girl thing.
No, this is all genders. This is all genders. But depending on how old they are, they may not have the awareness of what it's like. They may not have the awareness of what clothing to wear, what's appropriate in what settings. They may not have the awareness of when it's appropriate to take off your shirt, for example, to play sports or not. They may not have the awareness of what bra to wear in what situation. I mean,
they may not have the awareness that they are attracting adult eyes.
Yeah.
They may not have the awareness that the feeling of being noticed for looking good and looking confident, which is, by the way, something that makes almost everyone feel good when the world takes note of you because you are rocking it that day. It feels good. Mm-hmm. And yet, if the world that is noticing you is, you know, you're 12, 13, 14, 15, and the world is 21, 22, 23, 30,
40,
50. It is a mixed bag of odd emotions because kids feel great that they're being seen and noticed. And yet there is a major ick factor that they are highly aware of. And in some cases, there's danger. There's the perception of danger there. And the kids actually will describe feeling like suddenly they will go from, I have never felt better to, oh, danger, danger, danger. I need to get myself out of this situation.
And we want them to feel amazing in their bodies, like to walk through life with that sort of butterfly, just unfurled feeling. That's incredible. I mean, I would hope for that for every child who's becoming, you know, an adult or a teen. Like, that's amazing. So with that kid, the conversation is, it's somehow balancing, and this is relevant to the third part of the conversation, it's somehow balancing excitement for them that they feel really good in their body and they want to have their body out in the world in really confident ways, right? Balanced with safety conversations about, you know, when people look at you, when people say things. And I just want to be super clear for anyone listening. This is not victim blaming or victim shaming. This is just the crazy world we live in that we have to worry about our kid going out, taking their new body for a spin in a cute little shorts or top or topless on in the basketball court and worry that somebody is going to say something, do something, whatever. So, Cara, I don't know. I mean, I have some thoughts on language to use. I don't know if you have a favorite phrase that you like to use.
Well, I mean, what always stops me in my tracks is you don't want to value someone based upon the way they look. And yet, if you don't acknowledge that they feel good based upon the way they look, you have laid a whole new set of values for them, right? Like kids will tell us, my kids have told me my need to not value the way they look had for a couple of years there made them feel insecure about the way they looked. They went from feeling really confident to really insecure because we never said anything. So to me, the language is something like, I am so glad you feel so confident about how you look. And you look amazing. You should feel confident. Let's just talk about one reality here as you head off to this party or this beach or this thing. And just like, bear with me for 2 minutes while we go through one circumstance that you might butt up against. And then just ask them a question, whatever that thing is. You know, you're going to be on the beach. There are going to be lots of, you know, older teenagers around. Like if someone approaches you, have you thought about how you might handle yourself, what you might say? It's a very benign, but it starts, it's like in a job review session with an employee where you always lead with the positive before getting into the, like, I do think you want to acknowledge how happy you are about how great your kid feels. And to follow up by saying, and you're right to feel that way. It's amazing. You just are glowing. It's great. Like you don't even have to make it about their actual body. You can make it about how wonderful it is to see your child feel the way they feel. Right. And I think that goes a long way.
And I think reminding them, which is something we talk to adults about a lot, that kids can look a lot older than they are. So you might be at the town pool and you're 12, but you look 16, and a 16-year-old might look at you and say, oh, okay, this is someone I could approach in a romantic way, not realizing the kid is 12. And so part of what we need to help kids do is figure out the language and the behaviors when someone thinks they're a lot older than they are. Not even the scary stuff, but in a totally benign way. And it's something like, I'm 12. I don't know if you knew that, right? Like it's as simple as that. Or like, I know I get so aggressive when I think about kids being unsafe or feeling unsafe or in uncertain circumstances. And my language always gets like really in your face, but kids always tell us like, they're never going to use.
Oh my God. Don't you know they're 12?
Get the hell off my body. I'm 12. And kids are like, I'm never going to say that. I'm going to say something that gets me out of the situation, but like carefully and gently and sort of allows me to slide out. So they're like, I might just say like, dude, do you know how old I am? I'm not your age. Like you're my brother's age. I'm 12. Right. Or something like that.
But I have two side notes. One is, let us not forget that the attention sometimes feels good. And so that has to be part of the conversation. It's like when someone approaches you, it might actually feel good and that's fine. You might be very flattered and it might be very exciting. Still, this is the conversation to have.
I mean, I keep thinking about like, how do you recognize to a kid that it feels good and also freak them out enough to not make them want to seek it afterwards? And
yeah,
I'm like,
come sit by me.
And I'm thinking about the conversation I had, you know, the story how I took my youngest to see a comedian. The comedian, it was like all about blowjobs. Like it was like 20 minutes of blowjobs and he was 11 at the time. I know, great parenting win by me. But it allowed us to have a conversation about blowjobs. And he was like, yeah, why would anyone do that? Like, that's disgusting. And I said to him, for someone your age, that sounds disgusting, which is exactly why it is not an appropriate thing for you to be doing with somebody else. And so part of me is like, what could you say to a 12-year-old who's like really thrilled to be hanging out with a 16-year-old? And part of me is like, so you know how you want to like hold hands and like send each other funny things? That person actually is interested in blowjobs. So like, that's not what you have to say, but somehow you have to set up the like different mindsets for a kid. So they're like, oh, gross.
Yeah. And here's the other piece of it that I want to shine a light on. The town pool may be social media. So
this is the really big shift. Yeah.
Is that this happens not once or twice in the spring and then all summer long. It happens all day, every day.
Yeah.
And kids are taking and editing pictures of themselves to put out into the world that they feel really good about. They're feeling confident and they want to put it out in the world. And what do other kids say? Gorgeous. You're amazing. Right. Beautiful. OMG, 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 right? All of this. And it's lots of positive feedback for this same phenomena. And all of the sort of potholes that we have walked through that can happen in real life can happen very much on social media, where someone DMs them and, you know, suddenly engages them and wants to be in conversation and wants to be sharing images and wants to be this and wants to be that or wants to meet them. And they are in way over their head. And so that is a good analogous conversation to have about social media.
And we will do a separate episode about the topic of specifically how to handle legal issues and really concerning issues on social media, things getting posted without permission, catfishing, asking for nudes, dealing with kind of revenge porn. We will do a whole separate episode on that. But I will say, if your kid feels like you have demonized their social media use to the point where they will never come talk to you about it, you actually lose a protective factor in That's terms right. of your kid's social media use. And so being a curious, interested adult in conversation with a kid about social media instead of saying it's the devil is actually a way to keep them safer in their social media use as opposed to less safe. But we'll cover that. We've gotten some questions on that. We will do a separate episode on that. So, Cara, let's cover the last topic, which we covered a couple of years ago in an episode called Parenting Without Judgment. And it was about all the ways that one can be judgy of kids, of other adults, of other parents. And we talked about it a bit, which is like, what do we do if our kids want to wear stuff that, like, the weather's getting warm, the shorts are getting shorter, the t-shirts are getting tinier, the bathing suits, as you just said, are like barely cover a vulva. I mean, what do we do?
And they cost the same as the one. I'm like,
I know.
The lack of...
You sound like my grandmother.
Can I just vent for a second? Like, the bikini bottoms used to cover your entire bottom and now they cost more and cover half.
Okay. And now they go up your butt crack on purpose.
Completely. Yes.
Yeah. For people who don't know, one of the styles right now is what you only used to see on Brazilian beaches, which is the bathing suit bottom right up the butt crack. And now that's like standard operating procedure.
It really is. That's what's for sale. Frankly, that is what's for sale. So want to contend with it or not, you know, and there are lots of places that have alternatives and lots of very accessible stores and big box stores. And great. Okay, go for it. But don't be surprised when your kid comes to you and says, oh, hey, I'd like to buy one of these. And you're like, where do you see that? Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. So it's an interesting thing because this question really has a tremendous Venn diagram overlap with both groups. So you have the insecure kids who may be emerging out of their insecurity into ever shrinking clothes or more revealing clothes as the weather is getting warm, which is a positive thing in some ways. And yet you might be struggling internally with how you feel about that as a parent. And then you've got the overly confident or confident kids who the weather is changing and they're like, woohoo, I can do this 24/7. And again, you may feel great about their confidence, but you may be struggling with how to manage. You're looking at 6 long months ahead of being relatively uncovered. And again, you know, to this point, you and I talk about this a lot. We have different opinions on this one. I think we land not so far apart, but I tend to lean so far into, let's talk about why I have feelings about this rather than what you are and aren't allowed to wear. And you tend to lean into, let's talk about what you are and aren't allowed to wear, and maybe we'll talk about the why behind it. Both approaches work, and neither one is better than the other.
Well, I think Aliza Pressman basically made it clear that mine was a little too authoritarian and not quite authoritative enough, and yours is more authoritative. But I will say—
Although they can negotiate out of mine. Okay, let's talk about
that. They can negotiate out of yours. So let's use shorts as an example. Very short shorts that...
Do you watch Kim's Convenience? Ever seen that show? There's an episode where one of the workers in the car rental company is wearing, it's a man, probably in his late 20s, early 30s, and he's wearing a pair of short shorts that make everyone uncomfortable. And it's a great illustration for anyone who has seen that show. It's hilarious. And it's this conversation just dialed up for adults, but go ahead.
So there's a few things going on for me. And this is a situation where we're bringing our baggage into this conversation, this whole conversation. But for me, as a, I guess, are we considered third wave feminists, Cara? I guess we're considered third. I think we're considered third wave feminists. So as a feminist who was raised in, you know, the 70s, 80s, and 90s, female empowerment was about not wearing skimpy clothing. It was about, you know, wearing whatever was comfortable or we thought looked good. I mean, I spent half of college in overalls, which, you know, I guess are now back in, but
everything comes back.
Everything comes back. So part of my challenge with the clothing is that it feels unempowered to me, that wearing super tiny, sexy clothing feels like not feminist, but I need to get over that. And as Chelsea Gooden talked about in our episode with her and her wonderful book, Underestimated, she's like, this is their self-expression. We have to get curious. If we judge them, we shut down conversation.
And it feels empowered to them. I mean, let's be very clear.
It feels empowered to them.
Different to them.
I mean, I would never have felt empowered in those shorts. I didn't even like wearing shorts when I was that age because my butt was the part of my body that I felt self-conscious about. I mean, if I put on a pair of those shorts, I swear to God, I wouldn't even be able to leave my bathroom, let alone my house. But I love that kids feel good enough about their bodies. Here's my real concern about those really short shorts that are like so tight up against their vulva is like, I'm like, you are going to get yeast infection.
Yeast.
Like, and I, my
chafing,
poor, my
yeast,
poor daughter, I've said to her, like in public, like she'll try to get into the argument with me about shorts. I'm like, do you want a yeast infection? Because they suck. And I've had so many yeast infections in my life. And so one of the deals that we made, this will make you happy, Cara. I was like, if you wear really short shorts during the day, those jean shorts, where like literally there's not a breath of air getting up between those jean shorts and the vulva for like the entire duration of wearing them, I was like, you got to come home and put on your shorts.
Oh my God, I love you for this.
And you got to breathe, you got to air it out. Like
air
your
it
poor
out.
Vulva is suffocating in those shorts. Like you have to air it out. And like, thank God I have the kid. If I said this to my sons, they would like literally never come home ever again. But thank God I have a kid who's like, okay, mom, haha, funny, fine. So you got to get out. Like,
yeah, that's because your sons wear their shorts out of the house.
They wear their shorts 24/7. So they don't need to change into their shorts. But the other thing is with girls and their summer wear is the keeping a wet bathing suit on and then putting tight shorts over a wet or damp bathing suit. I mean, talk about a breeding ground for a yeast infection. It's like a yeast party. So that's a safety thing.
And guys are no better about managing wet clothing. Again, Los Angeles lifestyle, to and from the beach all the time. The number of times that guys are just sitting in wet bathing trunks. And, you know, while they don't get yeast growth in quite the same way, they get chafing.
And
they
sprout get rot.
Yes. And so it's really, they got to get the same advice.
And the weirdest thing now is that teenage boys wear underwear under their bathing suits. They don't want their penises to be so like sticking out. And so they wear, and I'm like, but what's the point of wearing a bathing suit if you're wearing not bathing underwear underneath?
And anyone who wants to write in about this, bring it. This includes bathing suits that have a little built-in underwear.
They cut
in them.
The built-in underwear out.
Yeah. So it's like this whole phenomenon is interesting.
I don't understand it. And then when I ask, I'm like an idiot. So I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. This is one we cannot get answered in our own homes. So you ask in your home.
So we all have different rules. Also, I'm in New York. My kids have a dress code, right? No crop tops, no tank tops.
Can a bra show?
I think so.
Because I've been fascinated. This is a big shift from prior. Is it used to be when we were growing up that you would want to match your bra style with your tank top style,
right?
So that your bra strap didn't show. And now, again, like look in any catalog, on any Instagram post, look in magazines, ads, bra straps stick out of everything.
Right.
There is no attempt to, if you've got a racer back tank top, to, you can wear a straight bra strap and fine, you do right. You. And so it's very, you know, there's a lot of showing that goes
yeah,
on.
Yeah. I mean, so sometimes you're in a community at a school, in a religious community where the rules of the community do some of this line drawing for you. The problem is they don't always do it in a healthy and safe way, right. Either emotionally or physically. There's a wonderful Instagram account called Being Dress Coded. Mm-hmm. And she calls out all the news stories around the country about people being dress coded, people not being allowed on airplanes because of what they're wearing.
And it's very anti-woman.
It's totally misogynistic. Yeah. It doesn't happen to men. Although the tank top rule at my kid's school is for anybody of any gender, because boys, the way they wear their tank tops, it's like basically their nipples, like their entire torsos are sticking out. So in terms of people struggling with like drawing the line about certain clothes and certain things showing and certain things not showing, it is really a very personal choice. And it depends on where you live and what community you're in and what your personal reactions are. And I would encourage people to think first about why are they reacting the way they are, right? Mm-hmm. Have they been sexually harassed and it feels deeply unsafe?
That's right.
Are they worried about other adults in the community judging their kid? Did they have body image issues that inform how they choose to dress? And is that informing how they're reacting to their own kids? So the first order of business is actually to think about our own stuff and figure out where our reactions are coming from.
I mean, isn't that just one of the three core tenets of yes. raising kids through puberty, right?
Yes.
Like identify your own baggage, step one, leave it behind you, step two, and try again. And when you get it wrong, take a do-over,
right.
Step three. I mean, that's really...
Right. So if you say to your kid who wants to wear, you know, a crop top and super short jean shorts where half their butt cheek is hanging out, yeah, you look like a slut and, you know, sorry, you can't wear it. Like, you're not my kid. That's really not what we're going for here. That may be what your internal monologue is in your own head.
And be prepared for the following answer. Don't slut shame me.
Don't slut shame me.
And that is a whole other episode, because that is actually a very important conversation to understand. These kids are growing up in a world that is very complicated. But one thing they are super clear on across the board is that judgment is ugly.
And it's not conducive to like ongoing connection and communication.
No, it's
not. Instead, if your kid wants to wear that, and by the way, they're going to tell you that everyone else is allowed to wear that. And the everyone else thing, you can just nip that in the bud immediately and say, everyone else doesn't live in my house, my rules, different houses, different rules. Your friends, like no judgment on your friends' parents, but I'm paying for your clothes. This is up to me. These are my rules. And everyone's rules are going to be different.
That's right.
And so the conversation is something like, I hear that you really want to wear that. I don't feel comfortable having you go out in that. So can we find a compromise where it feels comfortable to me and you feel really great about the way you look? And let's look together either online or I'll take you somewhere and let's find some options that feel good to both of us.
And I'll just add that if you think it's helpful, one starter comment might be, it's not that you don't look great. You look great. Or you look beautiful. Or I'm so glad you feel this way and you're dressing in a creative style. Like whatever it is that's positive, right? Lead with the positive. But I'm not comfortable. And if it's in my house, it's here's why. So let's come up with a different thing. Or can you go back into your closet? Or, and this is kind of a fun place to land, go into my closet. I have found that one of the easiest ways to bridge a conversation about clothing is for them to go shopping in your closet. First of all, they always want to borrow something, and that's really sweet. And second of all, they make endless fun of the things you have and the things you wear. It makes it bi-directional, this conversation,
right?
And it allows for some levity. And at the end of the day, we all have to laugh a little bit, because otherwise it's just us yammering on with our rules and it feels bad.
And for people who have younger kids who are trying to age up in their dress, you can say something like, I'm not saying never. I'm just saying not now.
Mm-hmm.
And we can revisit it next summer, right? But you are allowed to delay for your kids. Just because they want it now doesn't mean you have to give it to them now. And it's perfectly your right to delay and not say, no, it's never going to happen and shut it down that way, but just make it clear, this is not the time.
Vanessa, it's a beautiful day in LA. I'm going to get off this podcast, walk outside. I'm not telling you what I'm wearing.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. You can, because I won't judge you. Bye, Cara.
Bye, Vanessa.
We absolutely love hearing your feedback and getting all your questions. So anytime you want to be in touch, email us at thepubertypodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for great puberty products like the Oom shorts or the Oom socks or the Oom bra, you get the theme there, go to myoomla.com. If you want more content, you love what we do on the Puberty Podcast, and you want to have us come speak or learn more about our book or subscribe to our amazing newsletter, The Awkward Roller Coaster, go to orderofmagnitude.co. Remember, it's .co because we don't have enough money to buy .com. Yet.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.